I've heard mixed things about these guys. They have a 100% success rate. It's not that they win, it's how they win that worries me. So why haven't I heard of this squad? Experimental Unit Clone Force 99. The defective clones with, desirable mutations. 99, eh? Huh. Nice touch. They call themselves the Bad Batch.
The cavalry has arrived!
Hello there, Star Wars fans and Moof Milkers everywhere. Welcome to Jawa Jabber, episode number 3. Thank you for tuning in on Utini Radio from wherever you may be listening across the galaxy. My name is Dennis the Phantom Menace, and I am joined by my best friend and co-host, David Wren.
Today, we will be discussing our thoughts and reactions regarding the first episode of the final season of Star Wars The Clone Wars, which was entitled The Bad Batch.
Sounds great. I'm extremely excited, so let's dive right in. We encourage all of our listeners to sit back and relax, maybe grab your favorite drink or snack, and get ready to enjoy the power of this fully armed and operational podcast.
Commence primary ignition.
Oh, brilliant. Let's get going.
All right, well, the seventh season of The Clone Wars is finally here, and we get to see the first episode of Season 7 last week on Friday, the 21st, I believe, and it was all about the Bad Batch.
Yes.
So, spoiler warning for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, we've given you maybe about a week, so hopefully you have, but if you haven't, it pains us to say, please just turn off this podcast for now and then come back after you've seen it, because we don't want to spoil anything really fun out of this episode. But you have, if you have listened to it, then we're just going to go right into spoiler territory.
Yes. Spoilers from here on out.
So this episode was all about a group of clones called the Bad Batch, and I thought it was a very clone-heavy, clone-centric episode, so I wasn't sure how you felt about it, since you've mentioned in the past that it's not your favorite part of Clone Wars, but just wanted to hear your initial thoughts on it.
No, it's not my, it's not where I would focus. I have mentioned this in our preview podcast. I would like to focus more on Anakin and the characters that we know, but obviously, over the course of the Clone Wars, we have gotten to know these clones. So yeah, even though the clone-heavy episodes are not necessarily my cup of tea, I thought this one was very well done. And the animation, can I just say that the animation is beautiful now? And that's a lot coming from me, because as I have mentioned previously, one of the initial things that turned me off of the series was the animation. And the fact that I was excited by it and even really enjoying the animation, I think, speaks a lot to the work that they've done behind the scenes with the animation. I really did like all the characters. If I had to pick a favorite, it would probably be Tech. I'm not really sure why, but he stood out to me, other than the one with the cool armor. He was like huge. He was like the big one.
That would be Wrecker.
Wrecker, yes, there you go. Like, he gave me, like, a Hulk kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, Hulk smash! I'm a Wrecker clone! You know. But, like, I thought that was kind of cool. And I liked when he took the helmet off, how he had, like, one eye. Like, I thought that was kind of cool. Because characters with one eye have always fascinated me. I don't know why, but they have. Just in anything.
So, just for our listeners, in case they're not quite up on the which one is which clone, and I just kind of wanted to let you know about what each individual one's name is and just kind of run through that really quick. So there are four commandos of this so-called Bad Batch. in this squad. And the first one we just mentioned was named Wrecker, and he has that kind of Hulk vibe to him that you just said and talked about. And he has apparently he has something called it's like a super strength, essentially. I think the better way to say it is that he has an enhanced muscular form. So let's back up for a second. The Bad Batch is supposed to be a group of clones that were named after a clone in previous episodes named Clone 99. They are the Experimental Unit Clone Force 99, aka the Bad Batch. And so the entire reason that they were created was to have certain desirable mutations that they were super strong in some areas, or they were more than the regular clones. And so they were going to be used in this war effort to essentially make the opposition not as great in counteracting whatever efforts they had in trying to defeat the separatist army. So named after the clone 99, I thought that was a really nice, emotionally touching connection, and that Rex even recognized that when they said, I believe it was Cody that said it's Experimental Unit Clone Force 99. And he said, 99, huh? Nice touch. Because they remembered the clone that actually saved their lives in one of the episodes way back when, and I think it was season mm-hmm. three.
I was going to say, I think season three mm-hmm. that was.
So they're defective clones, but they're defective not in the way we kind of see as mutations being something that hinders maybe an individual. It's something that was inbred into them so that they were able to have these super strengths kind of that other clones didn't have. So Wrecker, like we mentioned, is like kind of like the Hulk. And my favorite is actually Hunter, who the moment he took off his helmet, I had a Rambo vibe. Did you have that too?
He definitely looked like Rambo. Yes.
Yeah. He had the bandana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I liked him just because he felt more like the one that grounded the rest of them and was able to. And he was. I mean, he was essentially the sergeant of all of them. So he is the one that's kind of in charge.
Right.
And so he was my favorite, but I also enjoyed Tech being, I think, your favorite, right?
Yes. Ironically enough. Yes.
Yeah. And so describe maybe what Tech kind of like, what's his specialty?
He's just a nerd. Like,
that's not a specialty.
It is a specialty, dude. It's the 21st century. Nerds are in. No, he just, I don't know, he's good with, like, the computers and the technical stuff, which is why they call him Tech. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, he's sitting there and he's typing his buttons, and I don't know, I just kind of liked him. And he had, like, glasses, like, I don't know if he just couldn't see, or...
Well, we've mentioned before how if you have glasses, sometimes you may be considered more intelligent.
Right?
Yeah, I think may have played into it a bit, but... But Wikipedia has the official reasoning. Tech is a clone with enhanced mental capacity and intelligence. So he's just basically a smarty pants.
Okay.
He's a smarty pants who can help in any situations they get themselves involved in.
He's like C-3PO. And
he's like, yeah, you're correct. He is kind of like C-3PO, except a much cooler version.
Are you saying C-3PO is not cool?
I'm saying C-3PO is in there more for comic relief, whereas Tech is in there to help.
Stop it. Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. You cannot deny that C-3PO and R2 are the comic relief.
I love C-3PO.
I didn't say I didn't like him. I just said what his role was.
Oh, my God. When Anthony Daniels gets on this show, he's going to rip you a new one.
I think he would agree with me.
Well, maybe, but... He'll like me better because I like him.
The chances that he gets on our show are 9,720 to 1.
Yeah, you beat me to it by 2 seconds. I hate you. I was about to say it.
I should have let you say it.
You should have, but that's okay.
So the last member of the Bad Batch is Crosshair, and he is essentially a sniper. And I think he's just—I like his armor the best. I think you mentioned that. I think it looks really cool. It's got like the one eye kind of thing, but it's like a sniper kind of looking helmet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought it looks really neat. And he was my favorite with that. And also Hunter, as we mentioned before, he has a really cool looking armor, but it's kind of just modified from a Phase 2 clone trooper armor helmet. And I liked how it looked, kind of half his face was was a different color and a different kind of style than the other one, kind of like it looks like when he takes the helmet off. So he was my favorite.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah. And so another thing that I thought was really fun was when I first heard Crosshair, the sniper one from the Bad Batch, refer to any of the other clones as Regs.
Yeah, that was funny. I liked that.
Yeah. And I think some people may, like, I definitely see how some people can see it as a, maybe like a slur, but I thought it was more of like a military thing.
Oh my God, stop it.
So I thought it was fun.
It's not a slur.
And well, look,
but I agree with what you're saying about it being a military thing, like a civvy is a civilian, you know, like mm-hmm. that type of thing. It's not meant in a derogatory kind of way.
Well, that's what I'm getting at here, is that it kind of was, because if you remember in the scene where he throws the toothpick, and I believe it was clone Jesse, I think he throws it at him, and he's saying it in a way that's kind of like he's elevating himself as part of the Bad Batch and saying that he's better than the rest of them, so the regular clones are not as advanced. And so I think it wasn't seen as a slur. Maybe that's not the right word. It was more seen of like, you're a regular clone versus we're the superior clones kind of thing. And so that's why I think he got a little offended there, where he was like, what do you mean? And then they had to explain to him, you know, calm down, that he just means regular clones. This isn't supposed to be something you're offended over kind of thing. So I thought that was fun.
It was just nice to hear Clanker again.
Yes, it was great. That was great. I remember hearing that all the time, and I wanted to hear it again, mm-hmm. and here it was.
Yes. And it was like 5 minutes into the episode, so I was happy.
Yes. Oh, and one more thing that Hunter actually has is he is very sensitive to electromagnetic frequencies. And we see that a little bit in the actual episode, and that's his desirable mutation that he has. It's not like they joked about how he can keep the other ones in check and in line. Like, that's part of it, but his specialty is being able to sense electricity and smell electricity. It's kind of weird, but I think kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I almost got a mutant vibe from them, you know?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what they are.
Right. I mean, I know they're, you know, genetically modified and whatever, but like, you know, kind of, you know, maybe a little bit of Avengers creeping in there, but in a good way, not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. Like, it was neat. Like, I saw like some parallels to that.
Yeah, definitely. I think personally that the Bad Batch, we've only seen a little bit of them, but I think they'll quickly become a fan favorite.
And we're definitely going to see them at Celebration.
Oh, I can't wait to see the cosplay that comes out of this.
Right?
It's going to be fantastic.
I want to take a picture with every tech that I see.
And in addition to this, I think that not only cosplay, but I'm actually kind of excited to see if they make Black Series action figures with them.
Well, don't hold your breath, because we're still waiting for the Rise of Skywalker Black Series.
I won't hold my breath, but could you imagine the marketing potential of having all four of the Bad Batch and then like all four of those Regs, those regular clones, but having Rex and Cody and Jesse and Kix like in a whole giant set? Could you imagine like how cool that would look?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I can see it on the shelves, like 8-pack, all of them together.
But it's going to be another thing where it's going to come out 3 years from now.
Well, yeah, they're not going to all throw it out, you know, the first time we see these characters, because then there's no anticipation, you know, no waiting for it. But I'm excited to see if they do anything about that. But so I wanted to kind of get into a little bit more and breaking down the episode. So the entire premise of this episode one of this first season, or I guess episode one of season seven of the final season, is... it seems like the Republic at that time is just getting their butt handed to them, and they're not quite sure why. So they're trying to figure out what is it that's going on that is making them not be able but essentially they are trying to figure out why they're losing battles and why they're not gaining ground in the war. And overall, we know that it doesn't really matter in the end, because they're just being controlled by Palpatine. And so it's kind of sad in knowing that they're going through all the motions, but it really doesn't matter in the end. But anyway, for this episode, we have Anakin Skywalker that shows up and Mace Windu, but they're very brief cameos kind of in the beginning, and they're part of a scene where we have Cody and we have Rex, and they come in and they start talking to them about how for some reason they don't understand, but every time that they make a move as a military move, every time they try to do something and gain ground on the separatists, it keeps getting keeps becoming a problem because they are anticipating somehow every single move that they make. So every time they try the same kind of maneuver, it doesn't become as effective. And so Rex, I think in this episode, he doesn't really talk to Anakin about why he thinks this is happening. Anakin kind of presses him a bit and says, hey, is there anything else? And Rex says no. But then he goes back to his bunker, I guess, where they all sleep and they kind of all hang out together as clones. And he's looking at this picture. And he sees Cody, he sees himself, he sees Echo, he sees Fives, which are clones that in the past have died. And so he's kind of reminiscing on that. And he's thinking about, you know, why are we in this war? I think he's just kind of having a personal moment where he's trying to understand, you know, what's going on and why are we not kind of moving forward and progressing in this war? Do you remember that scene?
I do. And it was a good scene. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I like that he actually had a conversation with Cody, because when Cody came in, he was asking him, hey, are you okay? And so he was talking to him about how most people outside of the war don't really understand what they're going through. And I thought it was an interesting juxtaposition between him talking to Cody about that and not to Anakin, because Anakin, being a Jedi, doesn't quite necessarily understand on the level as another clone would, like Cody. And so I like that they were talking to each other like, yeah, other people, normal people don't understand what we've been through, what we're going through. And so I like that they were able to bring that out of the actual clones as characters, because we see them as just, they're just another clone, especially when they have a helmet on. They're just another soldier in this army. And what I thought Dave Filoni did a great job with when it comes to these clones is that he made us actually care about them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it helped us as viewers to understand the cost of war and the value of human life. Even though they're clones, we get a sense of connection with them because they all have names. They're more than just numbers. There's just a lot more depth to them that we get to explore because of what Dave Filoni and George Lucas and everybody have kind of created with the Clone Wars.
I think that's one of the stronger aspects of this show in general, like that it dives in, because you really didn't get to know them in the movies. I think we saw Cody in episode three, like, because he was with Obi-Wan on Utapa.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you really didn't get a lot of clone-centric stuff.
No, and that's why I personally, and I know some of our listeners actually, their favorite part of the Clone Wars it's great that everybody has their own kind of, you know, you and I like Anakin and Padme and Anakin and Ahsoka and Rex and like their involvement. And then I also like the clones, but there are some people who just, they love the Clone Wars because of the way that they develop the characters of the clones. And they each have their own individual mindset and the way that they view this entire war.
Right.
Yeah. And so I thought that it was kind of, it gave me kind of a, with the Bad Batch, circling around back to that, I felt like they were kind of cowboys in clone armor, like that kind of vibe.
I like that.
Yeah, it was something that was more of, they don't follow the rules. They're not like any of the other regs, as we've talked about. They just do their own thing, and they have 100% success rate with whatever they're assigned to do. And I thought that was just a nice way to kind of show that there are different kinds of clones, even within, it doesn't have to necessarily be like different names and different within the regular clones, but there's a completely separate batch, which is the whole point of this, the name of the episode. And I wanted to ask you personally, because I don't know, and this is a first for me, whatever you answer, but did you ever watch or see the unfinished story reels of this episode?
I saw parts of them. I don't think I watched the entire thing. I remember hearing about it and like watching, I think it was like a panel at a celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One year. And I remember like watching the thing on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
but I don't recall watching the entire episode.
Okay, so back before the Clone Wars series was canceled after the acquisition of Lucasfilm by Disney in 2012, we were all kind of wondering, because there wasn't a resolution to the end of this whole series. And so when it came back, and now we're watching what came back, you know, the season 7 of the Clone Wars, they took what was unfinished story reel, which means essentially that they didn't have all the animation worked out, but they had a lot of the script, they had a lot of the voicing done. And like David said, you can go on YouTube and you actually watch the unfinished story reels for this, for at least the first 6 episodes of this season. So if you wanted to skip ahead, you can, but I wouldn't recommend it, just because it's something that every week, you know, week to week, and kind of anticipating and what happens, you don't kind of want to spoil it for yourself. And I don't recommend that, but I did. I have seen many of the unfinished story reels, and they have changed it a little bit.
Gee, you spoiled yourself? I'm not surprised.
Well, I spoiled myself for Rise of Skywalker, and I did it for this as well. But the reason, I mean, I didn't go back and watch it again now, but I do remember, like, oh, they changed that. And one of the big changes that they did for this first episode is what I mentioned before, is that they actually were talking, and by they, I mean Rex and Anakin, about why they think their strategies aren't working as well in this war. Whereas in this episode, they completely changed that, and he's talking to Cody about it, and he doesn't tell Anakin about his suspicions. So do you remember? Why don't you maybe explain to our listeners a little bit what his suspicions are, that he thinks maybe Cody might think he's crazy, but he still mentions it as to why are the strategies failing?
Because he thinks someone that he trained with, someone, you know, like a clone basically, is on the inside, like whether he was captured or whatever, but like the separatists are getting the information from one of their own.
Well, yeah, I know that you're trying to hold off on who it is towards the end of our episode here. So I'm not going to spoil it right now either, but yeah, it's essentially somebody that Rex worked with personally and developed military strategy with way back when. And it's why he's seeing it when he's looking at the picture of all of his fallen brothers, and he's mentioning it to Cody. He's saying that it sounds like it's this individual that I worked with, but that can't be true because we all saw him die. And that was, like we talked about way back in season, I think it was season 3 as well, where there was an explosion, and that individual clone, who was very close to the entire group, was essentially killed, and we thought he was gone, which is a nice, I think, an exciting thing that they brought back up in this final season. It's like, wait, he might be still alive? So yeah, that was something that I wasn't expecting, but even though I knew the unfinished story reel, I thought that they did a fantastic job in finishing it up. You mentioned the animation, and the animation, it just looks... it looks so much more rich. It looks so much more.
It really does.
The colors are just fantastic in the way that they finished it. So I'm really glad that they took what already existed and then built on it and made it with the technology that we have these days to make it look like Clone Wars, but to make it look as best they could.
So one thing that I didn't realize that they are doing those unfinished story. They're making all of those.
They're making the ones that exist. So there are only, I think, 6, and we're going to have 12 episodes in season 7. Right. So that's why we know kind of the titles of the next few episodes, if you actually look it up.
I knew that there was scripts that were unfinished, or not unfinished, but like episodes that were unfinished, and they had recorded the voices, and they had done, you know, a lot of the pre-production stuff. And that's the other thing with this animated series that some people might not realize, like, especially like from the actor's perspective, like they've recorded months, sometimes years in advance of these episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they would only get Matt Lanter and everybody for like a set amount of time. So like they had these scripts, you know, sometimes they would record 2 or 3 episodes at a time. So like they were recorded out of order and everything. And yeah, it's amazing to me that the whole thing came together the way that it did. Cause I've watched some of the behind the scenes stuff, like the meetings with George and all that. It still boggles my mind that it even came together. Cause I don't know. It seemed like such a, I don't want to say that Dave Filoni didn't seem like he knew what he was doing, but it just seemed so jumbled at times, and like how they were recording episodes out of order.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if they were recording them out of order, but they were definitely released in a strange order.
Oh, they were released in an insane order.
Yes. So for anybody who's wanting to maybe start watching Clone Wars because they're hearing about it a lot lately.
Just don't.
Well, I wouldn't say just don't. I would...
just don't.
No, I would go to
Star Wars. Start with season 4 and just go.
No, no. Don't listen to David.
Excuse me.
What you want to do is go to StarWars.com, and they have a chronological order to watch the Clone Wars.
Yeah, but do you know how hard that is to do?
Well, if it's something that they want it to be like a streamlined thing without jumping back and forth, because it's crazy. And you mentioned
I don't have the patience for it. I tried when they published that article. I think they published it a while ago, right?
Oh, yeah. It was a long time ago. Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm pretty sure it was still on Netflix at that time. And, like, I tried to do that, and I think I got 4 episodes in. I'm like, I am not bouncing back and forth like this.
Oh, I finished the whole thing when it was on Netflix.
Yeah, somehow that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So, if you want to, there's a chronological list order. If not, it's going to be a little, not a little, it's going to be a lot jumbled up.
Well, it is, but that's how it aired on TV.
Yes.
And, like, if you think about it, like, that's how... I don't understand... Like, okay, this is the logic that I don't understand. I don't understand the reasoning why they aired them like that.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know either.
No, I know. I just... I mean, Star Wars, yes, has always been out of order because it started with Episode 4. But, like, you know, each trilogy was contained in a timeline. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they released Episode 2, then Episode 1, then Episode 3. You know what I mean? Like everything was chronological within each trilogy. And I don't know, like logically, I don't understand why they did it that way. But I mean, it took off and it was great and everyone loves it. And yeah, that was one of my initial turnoffs too, to be completely honest. Was that it wasn't in a linear timeline.
Yeah, I think many people were hoping that when it was released on Disney Plus, that they would at least have an option to watch it in chronological order.
That would be amazing. Disney Plus, are you listening?
But
please do that.
They didn't do that. They did it the same way that it was on Netflix and the same way that they released it on television when it was running.
I like that they did, speaking of that, I like that they did their 20 essential episodes, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good idea. Like, I watched all 20 of them.
Yeah, I think it definitely set up people who didn't want to watch all the seasons beforehand, which would be just a crazy amount to try to get that crammed in. I think it focused on the characters that we're more going to see in this last season, so it kind of caught people up on it. Particularly Rex and Ahsoka and Anakin.
Right, exactly.
Those top ones. And I want to go back to, you mentioned that Cody is one of the only clones that is actually a higher ranking clone that shows up in the theatrical film releases.
Yes.
So I learned recently, just recently actually, that, and I'm not very savvy when it comes to military ranking. So there are some maybe that understand why certain clones were ranked in certain ways. But I never knew until just recently that Commander Cody is actually higher up on the military ranking than Captain Rex.
Well, yeah, Commander is higher than a captain.
Commander is higher than Captain. And I just didn't know this until I had to look it up. And that also makes sense because at the beginning of this first episode, it was almost as if when they came to there's kind of like that hollow table where they were talking strategy and Anakin was there and Mace Windu was there. It was almost as if Cody gave Captain Rex permission to speak about what his thoughts were regarding why their strategies were failing. It was kind of like, why is he doing that? And now I understand it's because he is a higher ranking when it comes to the clones. And I don't necessarily like have an issue with that, but I know that's the only person we actually see who's a specific character in the films is Cody. You never see Rex.
No.
I thought, you know, that's kind of a missed opportunity.
Rex was made for this series, wasn't it? Wasn't he?
I believe so. We got introduced to Rex in the Clone Wars.
In the Clone Wars, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of a retroactive thing where they put him in. And I personally think he's probably more liked than Cody now.
Well, I was just going to say, and I mean, the Clone Wars series definitely has focused on Rex.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he shows up in Rebels later on. And, you know, that's him in Return of the Jedi, too, they've now said. So,
yeah, so that is one thing that I definitely feel like it'll make it for a heart-wrenching few episodes at the end of this season. But we know at least what happens with Rex and his ultimate fate. So there, as emotional as it will be for viewers who've watched this since it began, there's still that part in my head where it's like, it's okay, because we know he survives. Spoiler, in Rebels, he's alive.
Do you think that kind of, I don't want to say cheapens it, but like, I don't know, does it cheapen it?
I don't think it cheapens it. I just think that let me just say that it wasn't done purposefully this way, because this is a retroactive thing.
Exactly. I swear the only reason they were in Rebels is because Clone Wars got canceled.
Yeah, and then they started Rebels. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to bring back Ahsoka, and they wanted to bring back Rex.
Well, and notice how they didn't do that until season two.
Right.
Like, you know, I feel like they were like, okay, you have to at least establish a show and yada, yada, yada. And in the back of his head, Dave Filoni is like, well, I'm going to make this Clone Wars 2.0.
Yeah. And I love Rebels, but I do see where there's a bit of a, I think they'll make the continuity work. It's just too much of too much confusion unless you're deep into it. So I understand where some people have issues with that, but I personally don't think it cheapens knowing what Rex's fate is. I actually like that bit of breathing room, because we know what Anakin's fate is, yet we're still excited to see these episodes.
Lucy is a listening to Jawa Jabber. It's a muy muy bombad show. Misa thinks so. You should stay here, okide? Woo, cobra fish.
I don't know what all this trouble is about, but I'm sure it must be your fault.
I think many people like that they're making this last season, and me being one of these people, personally, I like that it's a bridge between the films, the theatrical films, just like Rogue One was with Episode 3 and Episode 4. So we know what happens in those films, but we want to see the connection between the two. So we didn't get much of what we've seen in the Clone Wars animated series. We didn't get a lot of that in the actual film, but now, because that's expanded, we want to know, okay, well, how did we get to Revenge of the Sith? So I don't think it cheapens his character arc at all, personally. And I'm also wondering, will we see Rex share his thoughts with Anakin at some point, since he didn't in this, or maybe even Ahsoka? Like, is he going to basically lay out his thoughts and say, look, this is how I feel about the war, this is my reservations? Is he just going to keep it within the clones and talk to them because they're his brothers? Or is he actually going to express that to, you know, people like, you know, Ahsoka or Anakin or even Mace? Who knows? But Rex is going to be with Ahsoka most of the time, so, because we don't see him with Anakin in the film. So for that continuity, like I mentioned, I do want to see the deepening of his character arc even more, and I think that's what Dave's going to bring us.
Everyone, find cover. We'll hold this position and let them come to us.
I don't think so, Captain. That's not our style. We prefer going to them.
Bad Batch, Plan 82. Shockwave.
Let's get to work.
So, circling back to the Bad Batch, which is what the name of the episode is, because we kind of went off on a little tangent with the clones, but the Bad Batch in this episode are there to help on a special mission. So what they want to do is take a small group of clones and go behind enemy lines and try to figure out why their strategies aren't working, or when they are working, why they continue to become worse. And almost as if something behind the scenes on the side of the Separatists, on the side of the droid army, is able to anticipate every move that they make, and therefore kind of evolve with the way that their strategies are continuing. And so they're supposed to go down to something called the Cyber Center. to me, it sounds like almost like a library. It just has a lot of information. It has a lot of things that they need to specifically try to understand what's happening and how to fix this problem they're having. And when they actually get to this tower, which is an outpost, it's not quite the cyber center yet. I really like the camera work and the animation in that part. It seemed like it was almost one continuous shot. I loved it. So the cyber center that they're supposed to infiltrate to try to understand what's going on is on a planet called Anaxes. And I personally don't remember this planet at all being in the Clone Wars, but I guess this is the first time I've seen it. I think it's the planet that they were having the battle on. Yes. I also like that, and many people may not know this who are listening, D. Bradley Baker is the one that voices every single one of the clones you hear speaking, including the Bad Batch. So a large part of the episode is where they are, before they get to the cyber center, I'm going to back up a little bit, they are flying in one of the Republic gunships, and they get shot down by some of the droids. And I really like the way that it really shows the difference between the regular clones, and someone like Wrecker, who is just almost excited to be shot down. And then he's like, we're going down. Ha ha ha. And he's all happy about it. And it's like, that's kind of weird. And then when they crash, he goes, yeah, we always get shot down when we're with Regs and stuff. So I don't, and I'm not sure if he, as a character, finds that to be like a downer, like, oh, we always get shot down when with Regs, or more like, this is exciting. And so when they do crash, Commander Cody gets injured and he's kind of pinned down by part of the aircraft. And so I really liked that scene where Captain Rex tries to go help him and Hunter holds him back and he says, don't worry about it, or something to the effect of Wrecker will take care of it. And they're like, how are they going to get him out? And then Crosshair says,
he's going to get the gunship out of there, not Cody.
Wrecker picks up the entire downed Republic gunship and kind of throws it and moves it to get to Cody, and then he's walking away. And I love when it explodes and he goes, boom. It's so Hulk-like, like you were talking about. And so that was a fun scene. Then they had to confront the actual battle droids, take out all these droids like it was no problem whatsoever. And I thought, you know, Captain Rex and Commander Cody thought that was impressive. And that's part of the reason why Commander Cody called them in, was because he knew that they were extremely well equipped for a job such as this, to go in and infiltrate. And so, as I mentioned before, when they get to this outpost, which is right before they get to the specific cyber center they're trying to get to, they go up this kind of elevator, and when they get up there, they're all the battle droids are standing up there and they're surprised, like, hey, who is this? And they start shooting and they start taking out some of the droids, and the camera action, it's almost as if it wasn't an animated series to me, because it looks like what you would see in a feature film, where the cameraman is moving around like one continuous shot, and then when all the droids are finally destroyed, then it stops and then you get different shots. And I just thought that was just a really cool way to do that, because I personally don't think I've ever seen that in Clone Wars series. And I thought that was really fun. Oh, there was a really, really fun connection to A New Hope.
Do you know what's going on? Maybe it's another drill!
And for many of our listeners who may not know, like, the details in the background of these droids are very skinny looking and mechanical. They're not like the clone troopers, and they're actually modeled off of a race called the Geonosians, which are kind of bug-like, and they're in the episode 2 Attack of the Clones film. And so those are the race of beings that created these droids for the separatist army. So they're modeled after themselves, which is kind of interesting. And I didn't know that for the longest time until I did.
Interesting.
So they finally get to the cyber center. And the whole reason they're trying to get there is, like I mentioned before, that they're trying to get what they call in the episode an algorithm that is... You know, for people who are listening now, I'm sure you guys are very aware of what an algorithm is because of social media and everything. But in this episode, they're trying to figure out what is it that's feeding the separatist army their information, their strategies. And so they're trying to download whatever information they have in this cyber center or this place where it's holding all its information. And this is where Tech comes in. So Tech comes in and he's able to do his thing because he's incredibly intelligent and can hack into the system. And so they're trying to gather this information and try and download it. But what happens is instead of there being an informational like data port that they're actually trying to access from, it is a live transmission or a live signal from a different planet, which catches both Rex and Tech off guard while the others are still fighting off the battle droids. And so the planet that it's actually coming from is called Skako Minor, which we will dive into more in the next episode when that comes out. But Skako Minor, just as a heads up, is where the Techno Union, which is a part of the Separatist Army, is headquartered. And so that's why it kind of also makes Rex, it shows that he's frightened, because what happens is instead of getting some kind of data from this center that they've just infiltrated, they get a kind of garbled voice response from whatever the live signal is. And then Rex tells Tech, hey, talk back to it in whatever the language is that it's talking in, and ask it what it is. And at that point, we start to hear a repeated phrase, and it is
CT-1409, CT-1409.
So it's very robotic, but it hits Rex really hard, because who is CT-1409? It is Echo. Echo is the clone trooper that died long ago, and they thought that he was dead. But this is the individual that we were kind of holding off on talking about. We saw his helmet. We saw him get blown away, and we saw his helmet fall on the ground. So we didn't quite see like he's completely dead, but we inferred it. Just like we inferred Darth Maul was dead when he got cut in half. But he was not. And so when they were actually ending the episode, they were getting away from this place, and Tech asks,
that number, Cap, what did it mean?
CT-1409. That was Echo's number. That was Echo.
And Echo is the nickname that was given to this clone trooper who actually became an ARC trooper during one of the series and in a couple of the episodes, which means he kind of leveled up in ranks because of the way that he was able to fight together with a team with Rex and Fives and other clones. So what's really important here is that that is obviously a huge spoiler, but it's somehow showing that Echo is still alive. And I didn't mention, but Echo is the reason he has that nickname is because he's very by the book. He's very follow the rules, does everything that he's supposed to be doing and what he's told to do, but he always repeats it. So that's why they kind of gave him this name as kind of like a, they were making fun of him, but it stuck. And so it's a nickname. So it's like, he just repeats everything we say when it comes to military strategy. So his name's going to be Echo. So somehow he's still alive. Now, I'm not quite sure how. I can infer that maybe the Techno Union has made him kind of like a cyborg and is using him against his will and somehow keeping him alive with the information that he has that he developed with Rex. So that's the connection there. No one's ever really gone. And maybe my little heart sings Ben. So that very eerie signal that they receive is, and if you listen to it, it is very strange, because you can hear like just a very weird robotic noise. And then when it's confirmed that it's Echo, maybe his memory was uploaded into a droid, or the Separatists are, which I find to be really like just kind of sad, because like I've mentioned before, it's the clones' characters and their arcs are something that I really enjoy. And so thinking about, oh my gosh, he's back somehow, but he's not back the way that we remember him. He's back against his will because they're manipulating whatever he has. And I don't like that personally, just because I feel connected to some of these characters, but it is what it is. It's part of Star Wars. And I'm excited to see what they have in episode two when they finally get to Skako Minor. And some people, like I know my brother-in-law Landon, he loves this. He loves the clones and the way that we've mentioned before that it develops their characters and makes them feel more than just a soldier in a war. It makes us feel and care for them. And so I thought it was a solid way to bring back the series. And it's not really bringing it back, because like I said, we did have the unfinished reels that just weren't fleshed out, as you've said before. They weren't made into a way in which it was not just a strange way to look at it, because if you watch the unfinished reels, the animation isn't complete, and it's just it looks kind of like something you would make with Legos or with toys, because nothing really moves. So if you want to, I mean, anybody can go look at these unfinished reels if you want to spoil yourself like I have. I don't want to spoil anybody else, but I kind of already know what's going to happen, and I just want to see how they do it or if they change anything like they did with this first episode. So I think we actually have a small clip and an audio phone call that we got in from our good buddy Kyle. He is very well-versed on the Clone Wars. He is kind of the go-to expert, because I think he knows a lot more than either of us do put together. And he has some things that he kind of wanted to mention, and I thought it was great, so we're just going to go ahead and play it right here.
Hey, David and Dennis. I love this episode and thought it was a very strong start to this final season. It was a clone-centric episode, but we still got to see fan-favorite Jedi such as Anakin Skywalker and Mace Windu, which I really loved. I enjoyed the characterization of each member of the Bad Batch, and I think they're a great substitute for the Delta Squad, since we only saw them for a brief moment in Season 3. The animation is leaps and bounds ahead of what came before, and Filoni and company did a great job of polishing the unfinished reels and adding new scenes, such as Rex holding the picture of Cody, Echo, Fives, and himself. Even though we have seen this arc before, I still look forward to seeing it in its final form and any changes the crew made to these episodes. Thanks, guys.
The Bad Batch episodes, you know, we had previously released them in an animatic form, so a lot of the work had been done, a lot of the groundwork had been laid out. It was also a way to do an episode arc that was very true to what Clone Wars was. We still improved the models, the assets, redid some things. We made the story better, so if you're familiar with the story already, which some people may be, you'll notice that while it's very similar, we did a tighter edit of it, we added some new scenes, we took some scenes out. I feel something when I make it, and I want the audience to react, because that's what Star Wars did for me. To a person at Lucasfilm, we want to give that to people, that sense of adventure and optimism and hope.
All right, well, we're back, and I think Kyle really nicely summed up what we've spent over an hour talking about, and I think he did a great job in summarizing it. And thank you, Kyle. We hope to have you on the show actually very soon, and we like the way that you've explained something in such a coherent and understandable way for our listeners. So thank you, Kyle. So if we don't have anything else to talk about more in this episode, that will wrap up our thoughts on episode 1 of The Clone Wars, season 7, and episode 3 of Jawa Jabber. So we hope you all enjoyed listening. And if you like what you hear and would like to follow us on social media, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search Jawa Jabber and you'll be sure to find us. Our podcast Twitter handle is at Jabbering Jawas, and our personal handles are Ben Solo Shadow for me, and David's is The Chosen Ren 83, 83 being the numbers. It's not completely written out. Also, if you want to shoot us an email, you can do so at dmdp@jawajabber.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions on this episode. We take any constructive criticism, since we want to make it as best as we can and make each episode better and better as we continue to grow. So on that note, that'll wrap up our thoughts on this episode. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening and bearing with us.
And until next time, I'm David.
And I'm Dennis.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited, and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. All names, sounds, and all Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Disney and the respective trademark and copyright holders, unless otherwise indicated. Jawa Jabber, broadcasting exclusively on Utini Radio.
When 900 years old you reach, look as good you will not.